Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
This podcast is copyrighted by Trill Ballins International LLC for the private use of our audience. Any other use of this podcast or any pictures, descriptions, or accounts of the podcast without Trill Ballins International LLC's consent is prohibited. At this time, we ask all premium content subscribers to insert their premium content cards into the nearest CD-ROM drive to receive exclusive listening content. Thank you.
Welcome to Real Dump, a Lights, Camera, Podcast Story, Episode 3. It's our third one of these things?
Yes, it sure is.
I feel like we've done about 30 podcasts at this point. We've only done four and then now a third of these.
I think when we do the editing, it makes it feel like years longer.
We've cut out enough failed "Would you want Quentin Tarantino to direct Star Trek" segments to make a whole entire podcast.
Every time we get on, we talk for about 3 hours, and it gets edited down to about an hour. So, like, we've effectively, like, we're 3x for what it feels like to have done podcasts. So just multiply, like, 8 by 3. We've done 24 podcasts.
So we're going to kick it off today with a look at two movies that have very different reviews happening right now. Let's start off with Blade Runner 2049. It's off to 98%, 43 fresh, 1 rotten. The reviews are fantastic. Some have even said it's better than the original. So we're excited about that. We're really talking about that because we want everyone to know that you should see it next weekend because we will review it on the 6th episode of Lights, Camera, Podcast. So not this upcoming one. We'll be talking about Kingsman, so you have to go see Kingsman. But we will talk about Blade Runner very soon. It's apparently great. We're very excited. However, there's a movie out right now that has almost the exact opposite end of the spectrum because Flatliners has been released and it is at a whopping 0% after 35 reviews. And this is not like the Emoji Movie where you kind of suspected it would be bad. And it's actually so bad that we're thinking about reviewing it either this week or in a few weeks. What are your thoughts on Flatliners at 0%?
Okay. It makes sense to me. You know, one thing that really makes me mad about this is they're taking a movie, which I think was pretty good from 1990 with a pretty good cast, and then they're rebooting it or remaking it. And then they're doing that really annoying thing where they take someone from the original cast, like Kiefer Sutherland, and then put him in a role in this movie, like as a sly little nod to the old movie. But the difference is that this one apparently sucks. I'm definitely going to see it because anytime a movie has 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, it really piques my interest. Here's a quote. Flatliners falls flat.
Yeah, dude.
Got him.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say that before. If you're going to make a movie called Flatliners, it's got to be fucking good because you're just like, it's like Chum to the Sharks.
So Flatliners falls flat as a horror movie and fails to improve upon its source material, rendering this reboot dead on arrival. Just to be contrarian here, also, I'm reading the Wikipedia article. Audiences polled by CinemaScore gave the film an average grade of B- on the A+ to F scale. So people coming out of this movie saying it's not as bad as the Rotten Tomatoes score. What do you guys think about that?
People are dumb.
Well, that's see, true. It has like a 43, I think, user score on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm not a big Rotten Tomatoes person. I know we're referencing it, so that's so hypocritical of me to say, but Rotten Tomatoes, I think we've talked about it before, can be a little misleading, but if there's one number not misleading, it's a zero.
Yeah.
A zero Rotten Tomatoes, I mean, that is the kiss of death. And I love that a bad movie is at a zero, because I hate when a bad movie is at like a 30 or 40, because then they can say, oh, well, Rotten Tomatoes is screwing us over. They're too harsh. When you have a zero, pack it up, move on. Over for you.
Still on Wikipedia. I clicked on the name of the screenwriter. His name is Ben Ripley. He's best known for doing Source Code, which I think you guys like.
Yeah.
Yeah, Source Code, pretty good. However, I'm looking at some of his other screenplays. He did Species 3, in 2004, and then Species: The Awakening, which is the fourth installment of the Species franchise, in 2007. And he did some movies since then, but of course did Flatliners. So known for sci-fi movies, maybe he's batting 1 for 6, 1 for 7 now. But Source Code was pretty fucking good.
I think the big thing with this movie, the big news, is that the Emoji Movie may have a run for its money with the Razzies for the worst movie of the year.
Oof.
That's shocking. Because if you're the Emoji Movie, you're already planning the party for after winning every Razzie.
They should call it like the Happy Madison Official Razzie Award or something. And it has to be like a placeholder for that.
Do they actually have like a physical award show for this?
Or? Yeah, and Sandra Bullock showed up one year.
Oh, nice. What was it for? Was it for the one she was in with Ryan Reynolds?
She won it for All About Steve.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
That must have been really bad.
All About Steve had Bradley Cooper and Thomas Hayden Church in it. And Ken Jeong.
Ooh, I like Ken Jeong.
I like movies that they set out and intentionally try to make a good movie that end up being a bad movie. Because those are usually the worst movies of them all. Like Emoji Movie, they never were trying to make a good movie. They were just trying to make a movie that was going to make a lot of money, and it did. But with Flatliners, you know, they started it off, and it's like some guy in a boardroom. It's like, bro, remember 1990 Flatliners? Well, what if 2017 Flatliners happened and Jerry get iPad?
So you guys going to butter? I mean, we have to. We're going to see it. But are you excited to see it?
I agree with you. I'm buttering it just because anything that bad is going to be almost fun to hate watch.
Yeah, I'll say I'm going to butter my popcorn, but it's the popcorn they put into the trash bag when they're hauling it out to the dumpster at the end of the day.
So next up, here's a headline that you would never have believed maybe 5 years ago, or you would have said, what? A buddy cop film with Kumail Nanjiani and John Cena is in the works. I don't really know how to feel about this one. I'm going to kind of let you guys take the lead, but we tweeted a question out to our devoted followers asking which two people would you cast to be in a buddy cop movie? So we're going to read the best answers at the end of the podcast, and we'll make a little graphic and tweet it out there as your reward for good answers. So John Cena and Kumail, good combo. What do you think here?
I'm buttering because I think it's going to be directed by the Zombieland guy.
Oh, okay.
I'm a huge fan of that. So
fantastic movie.
Great movie. And that was, again, one of those movies that had such a sick sense of humor about it. The whole Bill Murray scene. I know people are kind of burnt out on Bill Murray these days, but that was a really good, I don't know if you call it a twist, but it was a really good part of the movie because it was really funny. I love John Cena. I don't think John Cena gets enough of a chance. Maybe that's because he's still active in the WWE. I did see Trainwreck, and he was the best part of that movie. And after seeing The Big Sick, I'm a big Kumail guy. So yeah, I'm buttering my popcorn for this one.
I'm buttering it too. Big Kumail fan. I think Cena, as far as his acting repertoire has gone so far, kind of gets a bad rep because the movies he's been in are all shit. I agree with you, though. In Trainwreck, he was probably the best part of it. And I think if he kind of has that same sort of role in the comedic realm, I think it could be kind of funny.
I'm pretty sure some things this movie will include is definitely one scene where John Cena is shirtless and Kumail is like comparing himself to John Cena and feeling dejected because he's not as ripped. And that'll be a good joke.
Ruben Fleischer, I don't know how to pronounce his name. He is the director. He can come on the pod and correct us if he wants. He is directing the Venom movie as well.
Yeah, Tom Hardy.
What do you think?
The spinoff.
What do you think John Cena's neck size is for a shirt? So I'm like a 15 and a half with a 33 length on the sleeve. I think John Cena is like a 27.
Has to be with
like a 38 on. At least
25.
Definitely has to get his shirts custom made. That would be a good joke for the movie. They're just in Macy's, and Kumail has like a 13 and a half neck opening, and John Cena just ripping through. That's why.
Great product placement.
Wait, who was our Macy's director from the last podcast who was dressed like he was in a Macy's? I forgot what that reference was now, though.
Yeah, we did make a Macy's reference last podcast.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
I said he was in the tie department. Like, there's one guy staffing the tie department in Macy's.
Right, from Dark Tower.
I've never been in a Macy's in the last 20 years. Macy's humor really gets the people going.
All ties, all ties, all ties.
Oh, no.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, no. That's awful. We got to end this one. Okay, so we're buttering. We'll read the best buddy cop suggestions at the end of the pod. So next up, a topic that I think we've discussed in past podcasts and we were excited about was the Men in Black 21 Jump Street crossover. Well, guess what, folks? It's
what?
No more. No longer happening.
They killed it.
Men in Black has been confirmed, the new Men in Black. No 21 Jump Street. No Tommy Lee Jones. No Will Smith. And it's a soft reboot. We asked our Twitter followers if they give a shit about this and they want to see it. 91% of you said no. I'm no popcorn, no butter, nothing. I am so bummed out about this.
Ansel Elgort will definitely be in this.
It's definitely going to be Ansel Elgort and like Michael B. Jordan. And like, that's 100% going to be the duo.
It's going to be Michael Pena and Josh, Michael Pena and Josh Gad.
I think I was looking more into that article for this, and the writer from the Transformers The Last Night is going to be the lead screenwriter for this movie.
Is that a joke or?
No, dead serious.
Oh my God.
I actually didn't see it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think this could have been a good Twitter question too. I could see Leslie Jones being in this.
I wouldn't hate that though, because I really like Leslie Jones.
She was actually the only part of Ghostbusters that I was okay with, because she was the only one who acted like a normal human being in that movie.
Right.
And had like actual motivations. But I could totally see Leslie Jones being in the new Men in Black.
What they're going to do is because they don't. So Will Smith is Men in Black, and so is Tommy Lee Jones. But when I think of Men in Black, I think of like Will Smith. It was just such an iconic role for him in the 90s, and he's obviously been in two more since. So they're going to go overboard with like the tiny cricket, like mind erasing devices just to tell you it's Men in Black.
The Neuralizer is going to be like an app on his phone or something. They're going to try and like cater it so much to this generation, I think.
I will say though, for Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, this is probably a really good career move.
Oh, for sure. Avoiding
this. So I understand their hesitation to get involved, and they probably just don't want to play these characters anymore. Like Will Smith doesn't care about, I forget, like Agent
J.
Agent J. Yeah. I can't even remember.
J and K, right?
Yeah. I think they should just do like the Parent Trap thing with Jonah Hill. Just have two Jonah Hills. Agent J and Agent K, both played by Jonah Hill.
Danny McBride and I don't know.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah, Will Ferrell.
I feel like this is something I'm not buttering my popcorn for, because I didn't butter my popcorn for Men in Black 3 and I saw it, and I'm glad I didn't butter my popcorn for it because it just wasn't good.
Hard pass on this one.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah, and the 21 Jump Street crossover idea with Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith is actually a really cool idea. Could have been really funny.
So Men in Black, all the hopes and dreams we had of a Men in Black and 21 Jump Street crossover have been shelved. So goodbye to that. No buttering from the three of us.
Nothing is good anymore. We're just not allowed to have nice things.
No. So speaking of another group of movies that has been so far a disaster with the exception of one, Wonder Woman, the DCEU, which everyone had called it that, the DC Extended Universe, which was much like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is apparently not called the DCEU. After people calling it that for like 2 years. And they just came out, somebody said it in an interview, they're like, yeah, we don't call it that internally.
So what like, do they call it?
Yeah.
That's like the next question. Like, what do you guys call it? What are we calling it?
I'm not saying it's like a bad thing for these movies. Somebody tweeted at me, I don't know, I forget who it was, and said like, work for Disney much? So apparently people already think I have some sort of Marvel and Star Wars bias. I don't really have a bias against DC. I just think they should make better movies.
I have a Marvel and Star Wars bias because that stuff is good.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And maybe like, Justice League will be good. We'll definitely, we're going to review Justice League on this podcast, but the idea they don't have a name for their cinematic universe and like an organization is so telling.
What do you think is called internally? Is it called something like Project McLovin?
It's got to be something like that. And I challenge that again. Another call out for our listeners and followers. Give us your thoughts. What should DC call their cinematic or extended universe?
It's the DCPU.
Ooh.
Got him.
I'm logging off now.
You know it's something just that takes itself too seriously. Just like all the movies. It's like Project Icarus. Prometheus.
Genesis.
I think you're onto something with it being something way too serious.
Project Martha.
So there's not much to butter or not butter there. So we'll pass on that one for this. But we want you to tweet us your thoughts about what DC should call their movie universe. Next up, Star Wars: The Last Jedi. Can't get through a pod without talking about Star Wars. The runtime has been confirmed at 2 hours and 30 minutes, the longest Star Wars movie yet. It beats Attack of the Clones, which that's a good thing. I'm glad it took something away from that.
I can't believe that was the longest Star Wars movie.
That's disappointing.
That's the worst Star Wars movie, and it's the longest, which are probably related.
So what do we think here? Are we going to butter to the length? I'm not a big long movie guy. I think 2 hours is kind of like the money time for a movie. Dunkirk being under 2 hours was amazing. It was like around an hour and 30 minutes. And it was perfect. But I don't really care for this one. I think the three of us have already given this movie basically an A-plus rating. We haven't even seen a second trailer yet. So I'm okay with it because I think Rian Johnson's going to do enough with that time to tell a great story.
Movie lengths are like, it's like going home for Thanksgiving. You know, if I'm going to be spending 5 days at home for Thanksgiving and I like my family, then I think this is a great move. If I hate my family, this is a fucking horrible analogy. See, pre-written jokes. Let me start again. I will watch Star Wars: The Last Jedi for 5 hours. I'll watch it for 6 hours. I'll watch it for 7 hours. I don't care. The longer, the better for this bad boy. I'm buttering my popcorn straight up. Back the truck full of popcorn into just a gigantic hose of butter. Just douse that bitch.
Yeah, I'm in on it too. I'd watch a movie like as long as Gandhi, like to as Star Wars related, like any content, like just pump it straight into my fucking veins. Like give me an IV of butter and hook it up straight into my fucking jugular.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. I want to watch this movie.
I have rigor mortis.
Lisa Jar Jar Binks.
All right, going on from Star Wars to Beauty and the Beast. Idris Elba apparently auditioned to be Gaston. That's surprising.
It would have been better. It would have been better than Luke Evans.
See, I like fan. I thought Luke Evans was good. Was a bright spot. So actually, before we get into this, Kenjack, you rated Beauty and the Beast very high.
Big fan.
You gave it a 94, right?
Yeah.
Well, then Kenjack, with Kenjack's scale, he like kind of liked it. It's like, this is an okay movie, 94.
I like Gaston. Besides the obvious things that people would have bitched and moaned about Idris Elba, I think he'd have been great. I like him in anything, and I still think the James Bond Idris Elba thing needs to happen.
Luke Evans wasn't attractive enough for me to take him seriously as Gaston. Like I needed somebody like Idris Elba who just like breathtakingly beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. I think Luke Evans is really good, but I do think there's always room for improvement, and I think that would only be Idris Elba. He's a sexy man. He's a sexy, sexy man, and his voice is so hot too. And he's got pipes. I don't know if you've seen. I went through like reels of him singing on like Fallon and shit like that, and like rapping with Macklemore. Dude's got pipes.
Rapping. That's something every actor does at some point in their career is just raps with Macklemore.
There's a song was called Deck Dance Off or something. It was so bad.
Macklemore just hangs out at LAX as people get off planes and tries to grab celebrities.
Idris Elba was always rumored for big roles. Like he was rumored for Scar in The Lion King, rumored for James Bond. He was in Star Trek. I always forget about that. He was in the most recent Star Trek movie.
Mm, yeah, main villain.
But is there anything that you want to see Idris Elba play for sure? He's a guy who I'd want in the Star Wars universe, without a doubt.
Nothing in Dark Tower, man. Like, stop. Like, I mean, this is what happens, is that we get him, like, rumored in all these really cool roles, and then we end up with fucking Dark Tower.
So we go back to the buddy cop thing. I think Idris Elba would be a really good straight man in a buddy cop movie.
Yeah, he would be. Because you know what it reminds me of? When he was in The Office.
Yes. Some people don't like him, but compared to Spader's character in The Office, I really liked him because he was just such a no fun contrast to Michael Scott.
And there were moments that were a little more lighthearted and fun, like the moment he realized that Dwight is an idiot. Stuff like that would be great for him to be in a buddy cop movie. I wonder if anyone actually said Idris Elba. I bet somebody said Idris Elba.
Idris Elba and Josh Gad.
Idris Elba and Josh Gad sounds like a movie that's already in development. We just don't know it. Before we move on, though, would you want Idris Elba as James Bond? And if not, who is your backup James Bond?
Yeah, I mean, I would love him to be James Bond. And that, ever since seeing Logan, like every time I see a character, I'm like, well, what would a really old version of this character be? So I'd love to see a James Bond that just takes like a 70-year-old British actor and puts him in that role. I don't know who that would be if anybody has any suggestions.
I feel like you're implying heavily Michael Caine.
Do you think they could ever do an American James Bond?
That's exactly what I was just thinking, and I already know who's going to be in it. And it's not Ansel Elgort. It'll be Miles Teller for sure.
I thought you were going to say Jeremy Renner.
I think Jeremy Renner may have lost it with that Bourne series. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I was going to think through that, and people are very passionate about who plays James Bond, and it's just kind of stupid. But
it is a weird thing that people get very heated about.
Dude, it's so insane that there is only one decent Pierce Brosnan 007 movie.
Yeah.
And it was the first one he did because all the rest of them were just booty juice.
Die Another Day has one of the worst scenes in the history of movies when he's windsurfing on that huge tsunami.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the worst looking things ever made.
James Bond is one of those things that I cannot suggest a good James Bond. I have zero input into this. I'm just one of those guys who critiques the pick once the James Bond pick is made. I was on the internet when Daniel Craig was chosen as James Bond. I'm like, I hate this. He's not attractive enough. And then you see him in the actual movies and he's great. You got really, really lucky that how many has he been in? Four?
Four
Casino
now.
Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall.
Two of the four weren't very good.
Spectre. Well, he's 50%, which I think with like recent history is a pretty good James Bond batting average.
He's been good in all of them. He hasn't been the
issue. True.
That's true.
So at the beginning of the podcast, we asked who you would cast in a buddy cop movie. We have not read them yet, or at least I haven't read them.
I read one that made me laugh out loud. we're thinking of the same one right now.
The first one, though, was Ansel Elgort and Miles Teller. So that is fantastic.
No.
Shout out to Tyler McJunkin, 26.
Tyler's long time.
Owen Good said Ben Sass and Roy Moore, PFT commenter and John Kuhn. Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal and Sebastian Gorka.
Gorka! The Dragon of Budapest!
Michael Caine and The Rock. I'd be down for that one.
All right.
I know, Troy, I think you'd be very into Michael Caine and The Rock. Nick Cage and Shia LaBeouf. I would be very into that one.
Yeah, I feel like they have a sort of similar acting style. That might actually work.
Vern Troyer. Isn't that Mini-Me and Peter Dinklage?
He actually has one of the more interesting Twitter accounts. So
Vern Troyer, yeah.
Yeah, I normally don't like celebrity Twitter accounts, but The Rock and Vern Troyer are two must follows.
Brendan Fraser and Nick Cage, Ray Lewis and Darren Revelle, Steven Seagal and Marlins Man, Nick Cage as identical twins, Buddy Guy and Buddy Holly, Idris Elba and Army Hammer. I feel like that movie exists somewhere already.
Yeah, I'd love that.
John Goodman and a CGI dog voiced by John Goodman.
So a Turner and Hooch remake with John Goodman and John Goodman.
I fucking love that one.
Peyton Manning and Papa John, Vin Diesel and Tyrese. That's just Fast and the Furious. Come on. Kevin James and Adam Sandler, Paul and Pete Blart fart cops. I like how we got a title. That's pretty good.
Poop and Pee Blart.
Tom Hanks and Michael Keaton, Young Sheldon and Samuel L. Jackson. Ooh, Air Buddy Cops. So two dogs.
Ooh,
respect to that one. Trill, you got a shout out. You and Drill as Buddy Cops. Are you going to accept or are you turning it down?
Drill is a genius and I'm just an idiot. I'm nowhere near in that realm. I don't think I could pull that off.
Jim Carrey and Brendan Fraser, John Hamm and Jamie Foxx, Baby Driver expanded universe. Not a bad idea. They are great.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin and Melissa McCarthy. I think it's another one I feel like.
Can we just say John Cena and Melissa McCarthy?
that was my thought for a buddy cop movie earlier.
Kyle Chandler and Timothy Oliphant, Kevin Hart and Shaq. Chaz from Airheads and Rick O'Connor, Brendan Fraser and JB Smoove. Very much into that one.
Oh, I'm so into that one. Shit.
We did say Michael B. Jordan earlier. Michael B. Jordan and Chris Pine. I could totally see that being Men in Black.
Oh, yeah, big time. That's probably in production, something with them.
I wouldn't hate that.
So those are some pretty good ones. So we'll do some more during the next podcast and just some more throughout the week. We like when you guys reply. We like getting you guys involved. Guys, another fun episode. We're going to be reviewing Kingsman and the Golden Circle, and we also might review Flatliners this week. If not, we're going to review it soon, but it's kind of a must review at this point as it rides high with a 0% Rotten Tomatoes.
Also, we may have a guest on next week.
Yes, we may have a special guest on next week.
And not a celebrity, but a beloved personality who knows a lot about movies.
I want to note that you can follow us on Twitter at Lights Camera Pod. We have between 3.5 to 4.5 thousand listeners each podcast, yet we only have 1.2 thousand Twitter followers. Something doesn't add up there, so get on that. Follow us. Visit our website, lightscameramovies.com. We got reviews up.
It's just my mom listening to the episode 2,000 times. I'm going to start a segment here where I appreciate you guys. Jeff worked a long time. Like, we all have a real job. So Jeff worked between like 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. to get last week's podcast out. So I really appreciate that. And then Ken Jack does a lot of the editing work. Well, the only thing I really do is talking to a mic. So I appreciate you guys. A lot of the great graphic design work is done by, actually all of it is done by Jeff and Ken Jack. So, you know,
it's almost entire, like 99.99% Jeff. Jeff is our workhorse here.
Yes. So this, I just wanted to shout out because, it's really nice and I like you guys a lot, you know.
Thanks. We're fancy too. And hey, we would have, I think, 120 less reviews on iTunes without you, because most of them are just smocking. So
yeah. Really high value reviews.
I don't care if they say smocking. If they bring 5 stars, I'm good with that. Not to get too far into the Trill Ballins brand, but I do love that I see online when people ask what smocking means, people just reply and say, if you don't know what it means, you're already too far past it, or you're not deserving of understanding.
So the original mask parody came from the fact that it was like 2014, and there's pretty much a parody account for everything on Twitter, and people actually still kind of like them. You get one that's like British Stewie Griffin with like Stewie Griffin's already British. So The Mask actually did not have a decent parody account. So I was like, well, what if my brand should just be a parody account for The Mask? And then I'm like, well, if he's a parody, you can't really say smoking. It's just smocking. And there's no point to the smocking tweet other than that the humor in itself is just people reacting to something that's so stupid. The replies are really the funny part of it.
This has been a production of Trill Ballins International LLC. We want to thank all premium content subscribers for inserting their content card before the broadcast to get exclusive listening content. For LCB Ken Jack and Trill Ballins, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you later in the week for the main podcast. It's the MIBs. Here come the MIBs.
Guys dressed in black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, MIB, means what you think you saw, you did not see. So don't blink, be what was dead is now gone. Black suit with the black Ray-Bans on, walk in shadow, move in silence, guard against extraterrestrial violence. But yo, we ain't on no government list, we straight, don't exist, no names and no fingerprints. Saw something strange, watch your back, cause you never quite know where the MIBs is at. And...